The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You know, one of the great things about coming to the seminary is to hear the singing. I wish we could take every person who's a member of a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation and bring them here to see what beauties are in our hymnals. Thank you for that wonderful treat. Great organist, too. Is this person a hire? Or does he work here regularly? You know, I'm looking at the mighty Schlicker up there, remembering decades ago when there was a young man by the name of Hank Bailing who played for chapel services. And Hank was an interesting fellow, a really nice guy out of New York City. And as he played one morning, for chapel, he had evidently had a long night before because during the homily he fell asleep. And when it came time for the hymn after, nothing happened, and someone had to go up there and wake him up. He never, ever got over that. In fact, he left the seminary and became an organist, I hear. Well, folks, it's good to be with you. I appreciate the opportunity to bring the good news of the gospel to all of you here at the seminary. I do this on behalf of all of us who work for LCMS World Mission. I have the privilege these days of serving in a capacity with that group, and I enjoy it very much. It's quite a ride. And it's all about mission, isn't it? Sharing the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we do in the church, it seems to me. And it doesn't start with us, of course. It starts in the very heart of God. Today, in this wonderful gospel reading from Luke chapter 5, and by the way, I wanted to recommend a good book for all of you, a commentary on the gospel of Luke written by a gentleman by the name of Arthur Just. Do you happen to know him? It's more than just a commentary. It's a deep insight into the meaning of what Christ has done for us by coming into this world. So we thank Dr. Just and all of the other professors, faculty, who have contributed so much to the church through this institution. We thank you for all of that. But this gospel lesson that we share today, what a wonderful thing it is to read and to enjoy. Here you have Simon Peter, you have Jesus with this wonderful conversation. Our Lord Jesus Christ leading Peter to greater heights and better understanding. And we see Jesus here on the shore teaching many people. They're coming to him to hear the word of God, to be instructed by him. And they sense as they hear this Lord Jesus Christ that this is someone who has come from another place, who speaks with authority and such clarity. Hearing words from Jesus lifts the heart. And so many people come, as you know, that Jesus finally looks over to his side and he sees the boat and he gets into one of them, and it's Simon's. And this isn't in Scripture, but I wouldn't be surprised if Simon looked at Jesus and said, "What are you doing in my boat?" And Jesus said, "Hey, I healed your mother-in-law." So Jesus gets into Simon's boat, go away a little bit from the shore. He continues teaching, and then when he's done, he says to Simon, "Put your nets over the side." And you know the Simon answer. We've done that all night, but since you tell me to do it, I will. And so he does. And the nets immediately are filled with such a number of fish that they can't contain them. Even in two boats, they begin to sink. And then Simon has this interesting, fascinating reaction to this. He tells this Lord, who has done such a marvelous deed in his eyes, to depart from him, for he's a sinful man. I guess we can understand that, but one would almost think that you wouldn't want Jesus to depart from you because you are a sinner, because when our Lord Jesus Christ comes to us, there is freedom from sin. Because this is why Jesus came into the world. Who is this Jesus? St. Paul tells us in Galatians that when the time was just right, God sent his Son into this world to redeem the world from the curse of sin. And this was planned in the heart of God from before the foundations of this world were laid. And that's a boggling thing to remember. 1 Peter 1 speaks of how God chose Christ before the foundations of this world were laid. And what a mystery that is, to think perhaps that God, in creating this universe, already knows at that time that he's also going to have to bring a Redeemer into this world. And so Jesus has come. Paul Gerhardt, in his marvelous hymn, "A Lamb goes uncomplaining forth, speaks of this. There is a converse between God the Father and, I suppose one could say, the pre-existent Christ or the eternal Logos. And God speaks and he says, "Go forth, my son, and free my children from their dread of guilt and condemnation. The wrath, the stripes are hard to bear, but by your passion they will share the fruits of your salvation." And God, speaking these words to his son, receives this as a response: "Yes, Father, yea, most willingly I will do what thou desirest." And our Lord Jesus Christ fulfills his mission and comes into this world to bring the good news of salvation from sin, which he has wrought by his life, his death, and by his mighty resurrection, to bring that good news to all people, and he needs people to help him do it. And Peter's just one of many. But our Lord, in speaking to Peter on the lake that day, is looking into the future. And he says to Peter, "Peter, you think this is a miraculous thing? It is, but let me tell you something else. There are going to be greater miracles. You're going to have experiences that will absolutely, absolutely take you to other worlds and other experiences that you've never dreamed of, because I'm going to take you now and I'm going to make you fisher of men," as Dr. Just translates, "men living." You catch a fish and I guess it dies, but when you catch men, they live. And so Simon proceeds. And as you know from Simon Peter's life, he has many, many roads to travel, curves to turn, and holes to fall into and then get out. Isn't it a fascinating thing to remember that this miraculous draught of fish, which seems to be a part of the way our Lord Jesus Christ calls him into ministry, also comes up much later in Peter's life? After this Lord Jesus has done his mission and has died, and as he has risen again, he calls the disciples to breakfast on the lake, John chapter 21. And there again, there is a miraculous draught of fish. And they bring those fish to the shore at that time. And Jesus is there, this eternal Son of God who has stormed the gates of hell. There he is with hands dirty from charcoal as he broils fish for them and says, "Come and have breakfast." Peter had a difficult time in the courtyard of Caiaphas. I don't know the man. Three times he denies him. And it's Luke that says when Peter denied Jesus after the cock crew, the Lord Jesus looked at Peter. He looked at him. He turned and looked, and Peter ran out weeping. And now at the seashore again, this Lord Jesus Christ, who called Peter in the first place, comes back to him and says, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then Peter is given the great gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost with all of the others, and he preaches a marvelous sermon, and 3,000 people come to faith. So is the life of Peter. And we are in that mission too. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as you well know, founded in 1847. And it's so fascinating to understand that just 4 years later, this fledgling church body came together and formed what they called a foreign mission board. That's just incredibly interesting. This church, which was, as it were, foreign, speaking a different language in this new land, sits together to form a foreign mission board, because somehow in their DNA is that which coursed through the body and soul of Peter and all of the others through the centuries to share this good news of the gospel. And it took them a while, but a few years later, finally, our church body sent its first missionary. Do you know which country? To India. And Reverend Theodore Nather and his wife Joanna and two children went off to India, and there they founded a church which just recently celebrated its 50th anniversary. Thousands of people in India, one of our partner churches started by this church body back in 1851, now a thriving partner church. Last January, a year ago, in fact, in January, there was a meeting in St. Louis of people interested in the mission in India, and they came from all over the world, people from India, of course. And there was a tall gentleman who came, and I visited with him, and his name was Vishti. Cornelius. And Cornelius told me with tears streaming down his cheeks, I want to give back to the church that brought the gospel to my great-grandparents. Here I am in America, he said, and God has blessed me. I have great wealth, and I'm going to use it now for the sharing of the gospel, not only in India, but here as well. People all over the world look to this church body for their founding as a church. New Guinea, Japan, and on and on. That's what we do as a church, to take the message of Jesus Christ all over the world. We got about 88 countries in which we're involved. We've got hundreds and hundreds of missionaries of all kinds throughout the world at any given time. And the good news is being shared. In Uganda, there's a man there by the name of Jake Gillard and his wife Michelle. They moved into a village where there was no Christian presence in terms of leadership. There were a few Christians there. So Jake and his wife and kids move into this little village in Uganda, and soon they run into a man who is advertising the fact that he makes furniture. And his name, Kevin, they called him. Kevin came to their house and began to make furniture. And in the conversations which ensued, Kevin understood that Jake and his wife were there to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus, which was not unknown to Kevin, but he was not a Christian. And through the conversations which went on for weeks, Kevin was zapped by the Spirit of God, and he told Jake one day that I want to be baptized. And so Jake and the other Christians in that community rejoiced over this. But then Kevin's grandfather, knocked on Kevin's door and says, Kevin, I'm glad that you're going to be baptized. And by the way, the grandfather was a Christian, but Kevin's father wasn't. Kevin's father was the witch doctor. And when he died, he said to his son, Kevin, you got to take over. This is the tradition. So when the grandfather hears that Kevin wants to become a Christian, he knocks at his door and says, Kevin, you've got to do something. You've got to take the fetishes and burn them and then be baptized. So Kevin thought long and hard about this because he had experienced the darkness of that world connected to the witchcraft of Uganda, and he had fear in his heart. And he said to Jake, please help me do this. So Jake said, we'll do it. They arranged a time in the city, in this little community. They gathered in an open space. Kevin brought the fetishes in a box, and he put them on the ground, and he took kerosene, threw it over the fetishes. And then he turned to Jake and said, please light the match for me. My hands are shaking. So Jake did. They threw the match onto the fetishes, and they burned. And the Christian community in that place knelt down and sang their praises and alleluias to God as Kevin was brought into the kingdom through the power of baptism. That's what we do as a church throughout the world, to bring light into the darkness. That's why you are preparing yourselves for the ministry of the church, to go out into this country and countries all over the world to bring this good news of Jesus, who has come into this world not just to bring fish together miraculously, but to make us into fishers of men alive, so that the kingdom is blessed by the presence of untold numbers. May God bless you in your ministry and your work. May God bless your loved ones and keep you safe in the peace and joy of the risen Lord. Amen.